But this time, if you'll please take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 58. Today is the last message in our series on heaven. And we've talked a lot about heaven these past 10 weeks. We've learned a lot about heaven. And probably one of the main things we've learned that is that there truly are real answers about heaven. And as we've seen, those real answers are all found in God's Word. They're all found in the Bible. This is where we go for true and trustworthy and authoritative teaching about what happens in the next life. But someone might ask, you know, after we spent all this time talking about heaven, someone might ask, why did we do that? Why spend so much time talking about heaven? After all, that's way off in the future, right? And we live here on earth right now. Shouldn't we be focused on this life rather than the next? I believe that's a very good question, and it's the final question that we're going to consider in our series on real answers about heaven. And yes, heaven is in the future, although maybe not as far off as you think. But even though heaven is in the future, it does make a huge difference in how we should live now, how we live now. So that's the question we want to answer this morning. What difference does heaven make now? We're going to look at a number of verses this morning, but we'll begin here in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. The Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." This is the Word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we consider this verse and several others this morning, all speaking to us about how heaven affects us now, Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts to hear your word. You would open our hearts to your Holy Spirit as your Holy Spirit illumines your word to us. And Lord, may we take these truths deep into our hearts. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So heaven is in the future, and yet it still makes a huge difference in how we should live our lives now. If this life is all there is, you know, if you live your lifespan, however long it may be, and you get to the end, and that's it, there's nothing else, that is going to make a big difference in how you live, as opposed to what we've been learning these last weeks, that there is another life, that there is life after death, that there is a bigger, bolder, more beautiful life than you ever dreamed or imagined. And that life goes on and on forever. That this life is a very tiny lifespan, time span, compared to eternity in heaven. If this life is all there is, you're going to live your life one way. But if there is a heaven, if all these things we've been learning about are true, that is going to make a huge difference in how you live your life now. Knowing about heaven, learning about heaven, gives you a whole new perspective on life here on earth. In fact, without the perspective of heaven, we will not live our lives properly here on earth. In order to live rightly, we must keep all of life in mind, and that includes eternal life in heaven. As someone said to me earlier this week, we may not be leaving for heaven until later, but we should be living for heaven right now. I like that. And the Bible tells us a number of ways that your life here on earth should be different because of heaven. We are going to look at seven of them this morning. All seven of them are in the outline in your bulletin this morning. If you'd like to take that out to follow along or take notes, also out in the round table, there are collections of all of the outlines, all 10 outlines for the whole series, if you'd like to take one of those home with you for further study or reference. We're going to look at seven ways now that living for heaven now changes your life. So first of all, living for heaven now means that you are filled with new affections. New affections, a new love in your heart, new desires. And we read about this in 1 John chapter 2. Verses 15 to 17, where John writes, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Living for heaven now means you are filled with new affections. One of the best ways to overcome a love or desire for something wrong, something bad or wrong in this world, one of the best ways to overcome a love or desire for something wrong is to develop a greater love or desire for something good. Now, of course, our greatest desire of all should simply be to know God, to love God, to honor Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. But as we've learned about heaven, as beautiful as heaven is, and as wonderful as it is, the main attraction in heaven is still always God. God is the main attraction. So the more we learn about heaven, the more we long for heaven, the more we long to be with God in heaven, the less we will love the things of this world. John reminds us in this passage that the sinful things of this world, they're temporary. That the world and its desires are going to pass away. But it's the person who does the will of God that lives forever. Notice it is the sinful things of this world that we are to leave behind. That's how John defines the things of this world, right? The cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, the boasting of what he has and does. So the sinful things, we are to leave those behind, but not necessarily all of the good things of this world, the good things of God's creation. Because as we've learned throughout this series, the good things in this world that God created, those things will be renewed and restored. There will be a new heaven and a new earth that will last forever, and that's where the one who does the will of God will live forever. And what is the will of God? That you believe on Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. And so, first of all, living for heaven means that you are filled with new affections, with a new love and desire for the things of God. Secondly, living for heaven now means having a new direction and focus in your life. For this, we turn to Colossians chapter 3, the first two verses. Paul writes, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." Now you notice Paul uses two phrases here to talk about the person who is living for heaven now. He says you should set your hearts on things above, and then he also says you should set your minds on things above. So let's take a look at each of those phrases. The word that is translated "set your hearts" here, it's a word that means to seek something, to seek after something. It's the exact same word we find in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God." And so when Paul tells you you need to set your hearts on things above, what's he saying? He's talking about what you seek. He's saying that as a Christian, you have a new direction, you have a new goal. You are no longer seeking the things down here on earth, but you are to set your hearts on heaven. You are to set your hearts on things above. And then the second command is similar. Set your minds on things above. And the word that is translated "set your minds" here is a word that means to think about something. And the way Paul phrases it here, he phrases it in such a way that it means to think about constantly. And so if setting your heart on things above means having a new direction or goal in life, setting your mind on things above, that means having a new focus. It means you got heaven on the brain. That's your focus. You're constantly thinking about God and heaven. As one person put it, you must not only seek heaven, you must also think heaven. You're living here on earth, but your mind is constantly on the things of God. You have been raised with Christ, and therefore you have a new focus. You are constantly thinking about God and the things of God rather than the things of earth. Now, once again, this doesn't mean abandoning this world for the next. Rather, it means living in this world in preparation for the next. And so living for heaven now means having this new direction and focus in your life. Thirdly, living for heaven now means you will have new priorities in your life. Once again, if this life is all there is, if when you get to the end of your life, it's over, there's nothing else, then you're going to have a certain set of priorities, aren't you? You're going to maximize this life. But if heaven is waiting, then you will have a whole new set of priorities in your life. Jesus told us this in Matthew chapter 6. He said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You see, when we leave heaven out, when we remove heaven from our thinking, when our focus is on this life alone, then what happens? All of our priorities center on this world and this life. All of our thoughts, all of our planning, all of our finances, all of our investments, they all go into this short, brief life here on earth. We even have a phrase to justify this way of thinking, don't we? You see it on bumper stickers, right? YOLO, it says, right? You only live once. That's what that stands for. If you see YOLO, you only live once. And you see a picture of a surfboard or something like that. And you know, some people say, you know, you only live once, so you got to go for it while you're here. Go for all the gusto that you can. And the problem with that way of thinking is it's not true. You don't only live once. You live twice. YOLT. You only live twice. I want that bumper sticker. And you only live a short time here on earth compared to eternity in heaven. And so if you take the brief lifespan here and an eternity in heaven, where should your priorities be? You're going to store up your treasure here on earth where moth and rust get at it, where the thieves get at it, or are you going to store it up in heaven where it is safe and secure and invested for all of eternity? Where you store your treasure reveals your heart. And living for heaven now means that you will have new priorities in your life. Number four, living for heaven now means you will experience a new commitment to holiness. 2 Peter chapter 3, reading from verse 10, we read this. "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of what? The home of righteousness." Now, the day of God there in verse 12, that refers to what day? The day when Christ returns. And we've learned from our series on heaven that a whole bunch of things happen on the day when Christ returns. First of all, that's the day that we will receive our new resurrection bodies. The bodies of those who've already died in Christ, they will be resurrected first. Then we who are still alive and are left, our bodies will be transformed. We will receive our new body and we'll be raised and caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's the first thing that happens when Christ returns. Secondly, we're going to have that great family reunion that we talked about. It's going to be wonderful. You will finally be reunited with all of your loved ones who died in Christ. We will also be united with all of the Old Testament believers, all of the New Testament believers who have ever lived in all of history. It's going to be a huge family reunion. And then thirdly, also when Christ returns, that is when we will stand before God for judgment and we will receive our eternal rewards. And we learn that those rewards are rewards of grace. We don't even deserve them, but God gives them to us anyways, and that they correspond to our service to God in this world. In other words, how we live for now matters. And Peter, in this passage, he reminds us that when Christ returns, the world will be judged with fire, and therefore we should do what? We should live holy and godly lives as we look forward to the day of the Lord. There's going to be a day of judgment. The world is going to be judged. We should be living holy lives, speeding the coming of God's day, looking forward to our new home, the new heaven and earth, the new home of righteousness. You are going to face many temptations in life. Let me rephrase that. You're going to face plenty of temptations this week, never mind the rest of your life, right? This week, today, you're going to be facing temptations. But when you keep heaven on your mind, you will experience a new commitment to holiness that will help you to resist temptation. Number five, living for heaven now means you will also experience a new commitment to service and to witness. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writes about heaven. He writes about our resurrection bodies. And then after spending a whole chapter talking about all of those things, he closes with verse 58. We read this earlier in the service. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Paul talks about heaven. He talks about our resurrection bodies. He says, and therefore, because of all these things you've just learned about heaven, stand firm. Work for the Lord. When you know that heaven is coming, you will be motivated with a whole new commitment to service and to witness. You will want to give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, not half-heartedly, not just a little bit. God, I'm not just going to serve you 1 hour a week or 1 day a week, but you'll give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Whether you work in the church or working at home or in your neighborhood or in your relationships or your place of work, that is where you serve God and you serve others, where God has placed you, and you give yourself fully to the work of the Lord wherever he has placed you. And why do you do that? Because you know that what you do counts for all of eternity. You know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. What is the work of the Lord? I've summed it up here with service and witness. Serving Christ and others and sharing Christ with others. You will want to serve Christ and others where you are. Why? Because your eternal rewards in heaven depend on your service in this world. And you will want to share Christ with others. Why? Because you want them to share in all of this. There's a life after this life, and you want other people to know Christ and to share eternal life in heaven with you. And so living for heaven now means a new commitment to service and to witness. Okay, we've got two more of these. Number six, living for heaven now means a new perseverance through trials. And the Bible speaks a lot about this in terms of our trials, our sufferings in heaven. We read these words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Paul writes, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. A little basic theology here. God created the world good. Sin introduced pain and suffering. There is a lot of suffering in this world, but the Bible makes it clear that the suffering that we experience does not even begin to compare to the glory that awaits us in the new heaven, in the new earth. Now, Paul knew what he was talking about. Paul experienced his share of suffering. You ever read Paul's resume in the Bible? He was flogged, stoned, beaten with rods, unjustly imprisoned, shipwrecked, left for dead. He often went without food or sleep. And yet he persevered. And why was that? He persevered because he knew that heaven was coming. And because he was living for heaven now, he was able to write these beautiful words in 2 Corinthians 4. I go to these ones all the time. He writes, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Paul says, I'm going to focus my heart, my mind on heaven. I'm going to live for heaven Now, notice Paul takes his most severe sufferings, and in view of heaven, he calls them light and momentary. How do you do that? John Calvin writes about this verse that heaven makes light what before seemed to be heavy. Heaven makes brief and momentary what seemed to last forever. Paul was able to persevere through his trials in life because he knew about heaven. And that means that you can do the same, and so can I. Living for heaven now means a new perseverance through trials. And then finally, number 7, living for heaven now means having a new hope. A new hope. I'm going to turn to Philippians chapter 3 here. Paul wrote his letter to the Philippians while he was in prison, chained to a guard, awaiting a possible death sentence. Does that sound like a very hopeful scenario to you? Probably not, right? And yet Paul, even as he's writing his letter to the Philippians, is filled with hope. Yes, why is that? Well, he tells us why. Because he was living for heaven now. Philippians 3:20, he reminds the Philippians, our citizenship is in heaven. It's not here. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's hope was in heaven. Later on, Paul would write to Titus. In Titus chapter 2, he said, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives when? In this present age, right? Living for heaven now. In this present age, while we wait for what? The blessed hope. The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. What is the Christian's blessed hope? It's our sure and certain hope that Christ is coming back. He's returning. And when Christ comes, he is bringing heaven with him. And so no matter what happens in this life as Christians, we have hope. Living for heaven now means having this new hope. How wonderful it is to live life with hope. So many people don't have that. As a Christian, you do. Living for heaven now means having a new hope. People, heaven is coming, and it is going to be amazing. But I hope what you've learned today, that all this talk about heaven isn't just about the future. It's not just about what happens later. But knowing about heaven, learning about heaven, should affect your life right now. It should change every aspect of your life right here on earth. Living for heaven now means having new affections, a new direction and focus, new priorities, a new commitment to holiness, a new commitment to service and to witness, new perseverance through trials, and a new hope to encourage you and motivate you and guide you through this life. And so, yeah, we may not be leaving for heaven until later, but we should be living for heaven right now. Heaven's coming. It's probably sooner than you think. So my encouragement to you is to live your life in view of eternity. All of us, let's learn to live for heaven now. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, I thank you so much for your word, which gives us true and solid answers. Lord, for 10 weeks now, we've explored heaven. We've explored the life to come. And Lord, it has worked within us a holy desire and passion and longing for the good things that are to come. And Lord, I pray as we've learned today that it will also affect us now, that it will affect our desires and our passions and our commitments and our hope and our perseverance, all of the things we've spoken about today. Lord, thank you for giving us real answers about heaven. Lord, I pray that we would lay hold of these answers for ourselves, and Lord, that we would share them with others. Lord, our friends and our family and our neighbors, they need to know this. They need to know that there is a life after this. And they need their lives completely reshaped by Jesus Christ in the knowledge of heaven. So, Lord, help us to be good witnesses for Christ. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.